Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Hello, everyone. Are you ready for our next workshop? We're going to be talking about how you can stop scaling ABM, which seems slightly counterintuitive, and start stacking signals. So don't come for me, Scrappy ABM. I know I just said that because you're all about being scrappy and building this. So with us to talk through this workshop and just give us this, honestly, a crash course in a very short amount of time, we have Mason Cosby with Scrappy ABM. He's going to lead you all through this discussion, and I am going to hang back and help answer questions, do moderating of the chat. And so I'll see you in a second. Mason, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, as per usual. That said, hello, everybody. Again, my name is Mason Cosby. I'm the founder of a company called Scrappy ABM, and I'm going to go ahead and let you in on some bad news. You probably actually won't learn anything new today. You likely have about 75% of everything that you need to launch a successful ABM program. So instead of talking through some kind of a secret sauce or a silver bullet or this one quick hack, I don't have it. I actually would posit that it doesn't really exist. What I do have, though, is just some step-by-step guidance on how you can start to think through the structuring of a program. And that's really what we're going to talk through today. How do we use two very simple frameworks that will change how you think about ABM so that next week you can actually start to structure your program with clarity? And then once you've done that, you can actually join the 22% of B2B marketers that have successfully launched ABM programs that work. So if that sounds interesting, awesome. I'll be fully transparent. If that doesn't sound interesting, there are three other amazing sessions that are happening. I'd highly encourage you to go check out one of those, because again, this is what we're talking through today. So that said, if you are interested in this, you want to get a ton out of this session, which hopefully you do, here's how. I would pull out a sheet of paper, or if you are generally like me and you've got two screens, on a second screen, I'd pull up some kind of an Excel spreadsheet or a Google Doc or something that's a workspace, and I'd write down the following categories down a sheet of paper. And that's going to be awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, marketing qualified account, re-engagement, sales qualified account, and opportunity. Again, awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, marketing qualified account, re-engagement, sales qualified account, and opportunity. If you write those down the page, you will then marry that with a second list that you would write across the top, which is going to be data, distribution, destination, and direction. The last thing I'm going to highly encourage you to do, I know that we all still have Slack open. We likely have Teams open or whatever is your internal communication medium of choice. What I would recommend is you actually slide over into Slack or Teams or whatever you're using for just a quick moment and you say, I'm in a session on ABM. Do we have any questions? There's this guy that's going to talk really fast through a lot of different frameworks and thought processes, and he may have a couple of things that might be helpful. And that is the best I can promise. So that said, the last thing is I always recommend people actually open up their calendars and set a time block for next week to plan. I have attended many sessions. You've attended a ton of sessions today. And information without implementation is absolutely useless. So again, information without implementation is absolutely useless. I can tell you all the right answers. If you do nothing with it, you wasted your time today. And I don't need to waste your time with me. So set the time block, actually plan some things out, and put these things into practice. So that said, this is where we get a little bit into some audience engagement. What is ABM? If you are in the chat, I recommend you just drop it in the chat real quick. What is ABM? Perfect. We've got account-based marketing. When we think about what ABM is, what I'm really asking is, what is the definition? So when you think about the definition of ABM, what does ABM mean to you? Okay, so we're seeing some things around sales and marketing alignment, seeing some things around target accounts, all good stuff. That then inevitably begs the question, what is ABX? What is ABX? Okay, cool. Next then begs the question, what is ABS? In the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and also bring up ABE, then ABCM, ABGTM. So we've got account-based marketing, account-based experiences, account-based strategy, account-based sales, account-based engagement, account-based customer marketing, account-based go-to-market. We hear a lot of these terms, and I think that a lot of these terms were created in an attempt to further clarify what we need to go and build. The challenge is, I think a lot of people have just gotten really confused, and we end up actually having this situation where a lot of ABM programs fail because we don't actually know what we're talking about. And I mean that very literally. Like, we use the words of like, we need to have this ABM program, and we need to have our ABX program, we need to have our account-based customer marketing program and our ABE program. And I mean that very sincerely. We have a lot of conversations, and these terms were created really in an attempt to create clarity. And I understand that it was attempted to create clarity, but again, I don't think people fully understood the definition of ABM. So we added in a new definition of ABX that further muddied the water. And then we added in the definition on ABE, which further muddied the water. And then we've now added in ABCM, and now we've added in ABGTM. So we just now have so many terms that has made the problem exponentially worse, because now we end up talking in circles and we have arguments about our ABM versus our ABX strategy, when at the fundamental level, the goals are always the exact same. We all just want to get our best fit potential customers to know that we exist. We also want these same accounts to understand the problems that they might be facing. We want those exact same accounts to see that we can help their problems go away. We want those exact same accounts to actually buy from us to fix the problem. We want those exact same accounts to stay with us forever. And we want these exact same accounts to end up buying more from us. So it doesn't matter if it's ABM or ABX or ABE or ABGTM. This is it. This is all that we all want. So I would then posit that ABM or ABX or ABE or ABS or ABCM or ABGTM, they're all the exact same. So as you think about the idea of building some form of an ABM program, you need to scrap all of this, because you need to create the definitions for your organization around how you think about account-based marketing, or you can call it ABX, or you can call it ABS. It truly doesn't matter what you call it, because again, they're the same thing. And what that functionally is a B2B revenue strategy that aligns the revenue team, which is marketing, sales, and customer success, around a set of shared target accounts. That is what we're actually going to talk through fundamentally, how you can start to build today simply and actually see results before the end of the year. By the way, again, my name is Mason. I am a husband. I am a father. You can see that I have objectively the cutest baby girl in the world. I think she mostly gets it from her mom. But if you're wondering what I do on the weekends, it is take care of these two lovely ladies. And then additionally, I'm the founder of a company called Scrappy ABM. Personally, as a solo marketer, I have sourced over 8 million in the past 3 years through highly repeatable, simple playbooks and programs, and has actually been a 16x ROI for boutique and bootstrap businesses. And I now run a company called Scrappy ABM, and we're the only ABM service provider that delivers step-by-step programs for the crawl stage of account-based marketing. So if you are looking for support on being equipped to actually be successful in the long term with an ABM program, that is exactly what we do. And my goal is, again, today, to help you start to make progress towards that. So again, before we dig into anything else, I'll also address just very quickly, why does ABM fail? And there's three core data-backed reasons. The number one is that there's a lack of sales and marketing alignment. Everyone talks about this, but I want to go ahead and paint the picture very quickly. It's the same reason we have misalignment on what we're actually doing when it comes to an account-based marketing program. We use the same words. For example, leads has a ton of different definitions. It could be a contact that's entered into your database if you're marketers, or if you're sellers, a lead is an opportunity in your pipeline that's at a stage two. So sales says, we need more leads. Marketing generates more contacts and says, we got you all these leads. And sales says, we need more leads. Fundamentally, we are misaligned. The other component that is often outside of marketing's hands, but needs to be addressed by an executive leadership team, would be misaligned comp plans for sales teams. So if you've built a true ABM program or an ABM strategy that is aligned to business level objectives, meaning we are engaging our highest propensity to buy, highest profit potential customers, those are the best customers, they're likely to buy, and they're high profit. If we have built a program that truly engages those people, and what I've started to see more and more is sales comp plans don't incentivize sellers to actually focus their time there. And as a result, marketing's invested time to build a program that sales won't activate because they make more money doing other things. So there is fundamental misalignment both on language and also incentive structures. Next is that ABM is incredibly hard to measure. So again, generally speaking, someone will say we need to build an ABM program. They'll start to kind of just throw it out there. And they don't really change how anything is measured. But out of the box, most marketing automation and CRMs are based on a contact level. So if you don't actually think through how do we start to measure account level engagement and what are going to be our signals and our triggers that actually activate our sales teams, you're going to continue to wait for lead scoring capabilities to catch up when in reality, you've now created a system through which measurement is radically different, but you measured everything the same. So the success of your ABM program isn't currently showing up in your dashboards and you deem it a failure. That is a second reason why ABM fails. And the last is that there's a lack of dedicated resources. What this fundamentally turns into is that someone's going to listen to this session, and I mean this very sincerely. They may watch this back and they may not watch the full thing, and they may think, man, I really love those frameworks that we're gonna get to here in just a moment. And they're gonna go to marketing manager Susie and say, hey, Susie, you now do ABM. But they didn't take anything off of Susie's plate. So Susie still has a full-time day job where she's still managing everything else, and now she's been tasked with building a cross-functional change in how we fundamentally go to our accounts and go to our market. And as a result, Susie really doesn't actually try to figure out ABM. She mostly tries to focus on getting her core responsibilities done. With the leftover time, she does ABM. And then the executive team is going to check in a couple of weeks or months and say, hey, Susie, how's it going? And it's not going to have progress. And as a result, ABM will be deemed a failure. Or what I've also started to see is Susie gets fired for not doing her job when in reality, she set up for success in the first place. So if you just throw ABM at a marketing manager and say, do it, you've set them up for failure. So these are constant trends that we see across a variety of organizations. And these are backed by companies like ITSMA that have done the actual research in market. And then for us, we're just seeing this constantly within our clients of the reasons people are coming to us to help them overcome their existing challenges. So before we talk through anything else, if you haven't taken a screenshot or you haven't written these things down, no matter anything else that I say today, if you cannot address these three reasons, the rest of this will not work. You've got to first figure out how to align marketing and sales. You've got to know what your measures of success are, and you have to have the team members to actually go and execute. A lot of our frameworks will directly help you do that. But again, if you don't dedicate the time here to fixing these challenges, the rest of this won't matter. That said, I have now taken of a 30-minute session, roughly 10 minutes just to talk about problems. And you're like, all right, I get it, Mason. We overcomplicated it. But I've just got one quick question. And I don't know if you know anything about me. I love answering questions. So you can send me LinkedIn questions all day long or questions over LinkedIn. I will answer questions to the best of my ability at any time. And I want to make sure you get everything that you need. I just hate this question. What tool should I use? It's just coming back over and over again to this idea that there might be a silver bullet. And I pulled this from a report that Terminus actually put out in 2017, where there were 4,000 potential tools that are involved in the ABM tech stack. This was put together in March of 2016. And you know what happened between March of 2016 and today? There have been exponentially more tools. So if in 2016, there were 4,000 potential tools to explore, you can continue to spend a ton of time. I mean, truly, if you spent every day for a year looking at tools, it would then take you 10 years to get through every tool that's currently on this list, to explore every tool, to explore every avenue. When at the end of the day, ABM doesn't fail because of a lack of technology. ABM fails because of lack of alignment. It fails because of a lack of measurement, and it fails because of a lack of resourcing. It is people and it is processes and it's clear goals. No technology will fix that. So again, before you go and invest in a ton of tech, first, focus on people and processes. Because don't get me wrong, you do need the tools to scale. According to Terminus, 91% of B2B marketers were launching ABM programs in 2020. But as of 2023, only 22% of marketers deemed their ABM programs successful, which means that 78% of us that have been launching ABM programs haven't done it successfully. So we have to stop thinking about scale. We just have to start thinking about how to make something work. And here is very simply how. We just need to answer, how do we get best fit potential customers to know that we exist? How do we get these same accounts to understand the problems that they're facing? How do we get these same accounts to see that we can make their problems go away? How do we get these same accounts to buy from us, to fix the problem? How do we get these same accounts to stay with us forever? And how do we get them to buy more from us? And if you want to think about that, that is the account progression model. at the awareness stage. People just have to know that we exist. At the initial engagement and the meaningful engagement, they need to understand that they're facing a problem. At the MQA and re-engagement stages, they need to understand that we can help their problems go away. At the SQA and the opportunity stages, they need to understand that if they buy from us, their problem will go away. And then for them to stay forever and actually buy more from us, that's your customer programs. It's just an account progression model. So this is the first framework. You need to have clear definitions of what is awareness. What qualifies in an account as aware that we exist? What qualifies in an account has shown initial levels of engagement, that they may be aware that they have a problem? What qualifies in an account has shown meaningful engagement, that they might be searching for viable solutions? What qualifies in that an account is aware of our viable products and solutions and is qualified based on the marketing programming for product awareness and product education? At what point do we then activate the sales team to re-engage and ensure that the meeting is booked? What qualifies an account from a sales perspective? And to be clear, this is not based on fit. That should have been done before the awareness stage. This is now focused on budget and timing. Is the problem big enough to solve right now? And then lastly, is it a real opportunity? If yes, let's work it. Let's close this, and then let's keep them around forever through customer programming. This is your framework one. That is then married with the second framework, which is our 4D framework for building out activation playbooks. This is the long version. I'm going to give you the TLDR, which is data. Data is a mix of targets and triggers. Targets are who we're going after. Triggers are why are we reaching out? What causes us to say this is a right fit account that we should talk to right now? And when you put those two things together, you actually get highly personalized and nuanced messaging. One of the greatest challenges in the context of an ABM program is that they pull a list and they just market the exact same to all of those people. And they don't nuance their programs to factor in. These people don't know that we exist. They go from awareness to book a demo. And almost no one doesn't know that you exist and then buys a $100,000 tool. It's very rare. So when you marry targets with viable triggers that progress an account from awareness into opportunity, you can personalize and nuance the messaging every single step of the way. That's data. Next is in distribution. Distribution is just how do we get in front of these people? It could be an outbound SDR sequence. It could be LinkedIn ads. It could be retargeting ads. It could be your website. It could be an email program. It could be an event. It could be any number of things. For example, this right here, this is distribution. I am distributing information to you right now. So again, the question is just how do we get in front of these people? Next is destination. Destination is where are we sending them to get more information? And then lastly is direction, which is just how do we track it? If you can answer these four Ds for every playbook, you have a viable playbook that then allows you to actually progress accounts from one stage to the next. And here's the real simple trick. The direction of an awareness level playbook should be a component of the data, the trigger at initial engagement playbooks. So again, you're then progressing accounts from one stage to the next so that they actually move down an account progression model. And you've actually made it modular in such a way that instead of what a lot of people do, which is they build out this full program and they take 3 to 6 months to build everything out, and then they press go and then let it run for a month. And they're like, that was a waste. That's not what you do. You build out playbooks and then you start stacking them on top of each other so that they can actually guide accounts from one stage to the next. Let me be super clear. This isn't a theory. This is how scrappy ABM in 16 months generated $1.5 million in sales at a 9x return on investment. That's it. We started with awareness level programming. We drove them into content engagement. We then followed up with more content. We then got them to our website, and our website was purely a sales enablement tool. And then I re-engaged them based on what they looked at, and they booked a meeting, and I closed at 40%. My close rate is 40%. Some of you dream of a 40% close rate. And they're all right fit customers. This is how you can build a program. And it's not that complicated. So what we're actually going to do right now with the last 10 minutes is we're going to build this. You are going to actually take notes and start to structure your own program. So that said, what are you currently doing? This is a laundry list of different tactics that a ton of people are generally running. What I would do first is I just write down what you're doing. Just Are you doing social? Are you doing email? Are you doing events or paid search and social, podcasting, webinars, connected to TV, influencers? Like, a lot of people just do things and they're like, this is a brand play. It's good vibes. This is going to come back. Okay, you can do that. Not very strategic in the long term, but you can do it. Or a lot of people just kind of like, literally all the people come inbound and say like, we're just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall and just kind of seeing what sticks. You can technically do it, but it's not really strategic, because then that begs the question, what are you currently measuring? And when you look at what you're currently measuring, it kind of eliminates like half of what most people are standardly measuring. They don't really measure social selling. They don't measure their referral programs. They don't measure their event programs. They don't measure their organic social. They don't measure the community. So that leaves you with pretty standardly, and you may be the exception, but pretty standardly, what we're seeing is people are only measuring their programmatic advertising, their email programs, and they're measuring traffic against SEO. They've got their outbounding tools that have some measurement capabilities, and then they're measuring the MQLs that they generate through downloadables. And if they've got a great partnership program in place, they're using things like Crossbeam to actually like measure the ROI in their partnerships. And even admittedly, that one's kind of a stretch sometimes. But I want to be super clear, there is hope. Like, you can actually measure all of this except for good vibes and spaghetti and prayers. Like, that's, we should stop doing that entirely. But the rest of this, you can functionally measure if you have clear goals and objectives. So this is us. This is Scrappy ABM. We have objectively probably one of the least trackable marketing programs of all time. It is organic content on LinkedIn. It is an email program. We have a website. I do referrals. I do podcasting. I do lots of events like this. And I do social selling. That is it. There's no ad budget. There's no highly scaled, like, it's just highly simple tactics. And then you're thinking, okay, well, if that's what we have, this is what we're currently doing. And that's the goal. I want to understand, what are we currently doing today? Where does that fit in the context of an existing account progression model? And we have context. Scrappy ABM was doing a lot of things and hadn't directly correlated it to an account progression model, because bootstrap businesses, we were just doing things and it kind of kept working. And then over time, we're like, oh, these are how these programs fit into our structure. And what that turned into is then organic LinkedIn. I do an outbound connection request cadence every week to connect with my target accounts. That's an awareness play. So the measure of success is, are they a connection or not? That's the check or no. And then we only do outbound programming and sequencing and further content engagement with people that are connected with me on LinkedIn. That is our largest data pool. So that's the starting point. And then email, that's initial engagement. That's further education on the problem. Any content that I post where people engage, that is initial engagement. Events like this, I don't expect anybody to book a call after this. And maybe I'm horrible at events. That could be it. But truly, just view this as education. You just need to know you've got a problem. So I'm not going to expect anybody to come in. I'm just going to hope that you actually would engage in further content, because this might have been helpful. For the referral program, that is admittedly awareness. It's the only program that we run or even recommend that's awareness to book a meeting. Outside of that, there's not generally a lot of trust established where you could make that direct of a connection. For us, again, the website, it's only an MQA program because our website is truly a sales enablement tool. If you go to our website, you can subscribe to our newsletter. You can look at the podcast. Everything else is book a call, and it's product pages and it's case studies. It is purely a sales enablement tool. As far as podcasting, these are initial engagement and meaningful engagement conversations. That's truly it. And then for social selling, the goal here is to build one-to-one relationships in a way that is highly repeatable. As you look at this, objectively, this is one of the least trackable programs, but we've actually then married how we go to market around this program with the right technologies to then repeatably track these things. So I have data enrichment capabilities, and I pull a list, and I can actually measure that up against my LinkedIn network to see who are my target accounts and how many of them are connected with me on LinkedIn. I actually have that capability, super helpful. And then I have content, and I can see who's engaging with my content. I actually can track content engagement through social, and I pull it off the platform. I then also have email marketing, and I do it through marketing automation. I also have a website, and I've got website tracking there that actually de-anonymizes my website traffic. I have a referral program, and with my CRM, it directly syncs into my email and actually automatically creates a contact and stores all the information based on that referral. For podcasting, I use our CRM's meeting booking links. So when somebody books a podcast interview, I can actually see that their source as a lead source or an account source in my CRM is the podcast. For events, I use UTM Track QR codes to actually drive traffic. And then for social selling, I use outbound sequences that have LinkedIn capabilities. These are all trackable. You just have to align what you're currently doing with the current capabilities of your tech stack to build these starting points. And again, you all likely have some component of technology. You have current programs, you have current resources. What I'm recommending you do is structure these in such a way that aligns with the account progression model. Also, if you want a quick example of what it looks like to build tracking that's super simple, you can scan this QR code right now and it will take you to actually subscribe to my newsletter. And my newsletter, I have my podcast that's released every single week. We've got events that we're doing. We've got practical playbooks that we're breaking down. We're going to call the newsletter Scrappy Playbooks, but someone came up with the title Scrapbooks, and I love it. So if you want weekly scrapbooks delivered to your inbox, scan this QR code and subscribe to the email. And if you do that, guess what? Now I've got the tracking on it. So again, I took something that is standardly not trackable and I created a trackable capability on it. Ariane, I see that you have come on screen. Were you just here to laugh about scrapbooks?
Well, partially to laugh about scrapbooks, but also because we're going to be wrapping up here in a second and we're going to have some questions.
Perfect. I am almost through. I'm going to send this and I'm going to really sprint through it very quickly, but I want people to see the 4D framework and how it truly aligns. So like for the awareness level, it's ICP fit buyers plus data enriched list. I send connections on LinkedIn. They look at my LinkedIn profile. If they accept, that's a win. The data for then event invites, it's ICP fit list plus LinkedIn connections. We can do that through social content. We can do a LinkedIn event. We can do email. If they register for the event, that is where I'm sending them to register. And then we actually track the success based on event registration. Then it's content engagement. I then follow up with one-to-one next step content. And I send them towards specific destinations like specific podcast episodes, where I'm launching a show with Audience Plus called ABMify, or I just released a masterclass today with User Gems, or I have specific product pages that I'll sell with my signature. All of this is in track through website tracking and my CRM. Website re-engagement is specific pages plus use case content. That's one-to-one emails plus LinkedIn DMs. The destination is podcast episodes or case studies, or I send one-to-one videos. And the direction is booked a meeting. We inevitably get to booked a meeting. But again, a lot of you in general are using awareness level programmings to book meetings. And it's just burning your target account list. Now, I just went through a keynote version. If you want to see a real like 4D framework, this is what it truly looks like in detail. And this is the level of detail that you should get. If you want the template, just message me on LinkedIn or email me at mason@scrappyabm.com. I'm happy to send over any templates that I have. But when you put all this together, you get a repeatable framework that engages your market using your existing resources, existing technologies, and existing processes. This is the easiest way to start ABM. It's not intended to be super complicated. It will inevitably scale, but once you've stacked your playbooks together. Final thought. As you map all this out, you likely have current gaps. Here's how you solve for them. If you put in detail your 4Ds on your current programs, you can use the 4Ds as a diagnostic tools for opportunities to optimize or to identify existing gaps. You then solve for those gaps specifically. You may also need to make adjustments in how you track. As I referenced, the direction of an awareness play should be the data in the initial engagement play. If you can't track it in that way, you're not going to be able to connect your programs. And then lastly, if you have gaps in your account progression model, you now know the specific playbooks you need to go and build to fill in the gaps. For us, we didn't have a really great playbook that went from awareness to meaningful engagement, which is why we launched our newsletter to create a new channel through which we had initial engagement tracking capabilities and ways to continually engage an audience. If you have questions, we are right at time. So feel free to shoot me any questions you have over LinkedIn. But yes, if there's any questions, Ariane, happy to answer any that I can right now. You are muted.
And you can take that off your bingo card today, everyone. You've said you are muted in the Zoom room. All right. So yeah, only had the one question that came through, but I think I know your answer to this one, which is, I'm a marketer who is given ABM on top of my other work. What can I go back to my leaders with to get more help or resources?
I would genuinely send them this recording, and I mean that sincerely. And if you have leaders that want to ask me questions, send them to me. I've seen too many friends get fired, and I'm very passionate about it because they try to balance their current day job, and you clearly care about your job, and you want to do this well. And you know that if you can crack the code on ABM, you'd actually learn a new skill set that you could take with you forever. And I understand. I have been in that situation where I just had more and more stacked on my plate. something will drop. The challenge with it being ABM is that it's highly visible in the organization. It is cross-functional, and you will become the scapegoat when it fails. So I would recommend sending this answer to your leadership. If they want to argue with me, I'm the bad guy, and I'll do it for free because I want you to keep your job. I do not care, but please recognize that you've got to get more support or something's going to fall, and then you may end up losing your job.
Gotcha. So reach out to Mason for help. He's here for the marketers of the world, is what it sounds like. But we appreciate you sharing your expertise and really giving us a crash course in a very short amount of time. Thank you all to everyone who has joined. We will see you on our next session.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, we've got a ton of other episodes that dig into how you can build programs using your existing tech stack. Additionally, if you have specific questions you'd like to ask, we host a weekly live stream on LinkedIn called the ABM AMA, where you can join and get your questions answered directly by experts. And lastly, if you're looking for practical templates, guides, frameworks, and playbooks, check out scrappyabm.com, where we're building a library of resources that help ABMers just like you get their programs off the ground. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.